The civilizations described in this course I refer to and already have referred to as pre-industrial civilizations. Why? Because they relied on manual labor rather than fossil fuels such as coal to power the civilization, as it were. This means that one of the critical elements of a pre-industrial civilization was that somewhere, somehow, somebody had to be able to command the unquestioning loyalty of hundreds, if not thousands, of people for public works, to man their armies, for agriculture, for irrigation systems. And that was the big feature of these civilizations, the ability to control labor. Now, there are many different variations between individual pre-industrial civilizations. For example, the Inca civilization of the Andes is quite different in many of its institutions from that of the ancient Egyptians. But these two, and all the others, share a number of common features. And what we must do now is have a quick look at these, because they're very, very central to the notion of a state, to what I talk about when I talk about a civilization. The first feature is that all these societies, whether Egyptian, Sumerian from Mesopotamia, or Mayan from Central America, all of them were based on large cities. What is a city? For the purposes of this course, it's a community with more than 5,000 people. Teeny by our standards, but by the standards of the ancient world, large. A complex settlement with very large, complex social organization behind it. Why? Because cities require complex infrastructures. And society as a whole had a very large, complex social organization, which has been likened, as we will say many times, to a social pyramid. A few people at the top, a lot of people below. Another feature of states: they control much larger territories than societies did in earlier times, or ones that did not form part of civilizations. How did they do this? By trade, by force, by political fiat, by tribute, and taxation. Because all the pre-industrial states share a type of economy which was based on the centralized accumulation, and I stress the word centralized, accumulation of capital and social status through tribute and taxation. In other words, a few people monopolized trade and exchange, they monopolized redistribution of food supplies, and so on. Everything flowed to the center. This type of economy allowed the support of hundreds, often thousands, of non-food producers, artisans, bureaucrats, priests, the notion being that here, for the first time, you have a large number of people who didn't cultivate the soil. You've moved beyond the notion of a household which supported itself. People now bought their food in markets, were paid wages in rations, as was the case in Egypt, and substantial segments of society never went into the fields at all. Concomitant with this, the centralization, was another major change, an advance in all these societies towards some form of record keeping, science and mathematics, and most important of all, some form of written script, or a close alternative, like, for example, the famous quipu, the Inca knotted string, which was a form of code which expert scribes, and I think you can call them that, kept inventories of what was in each district of the Inca civilization simply by knots on strings.